The Bible says, and having done all to stand. Now, we talked about last week that we can expect the enemy to attack us. No question about it. If you are a Christian, you are on the enemy's hit list. You're one of the most wanted. Amen. He wants to attack you. And Paul says these words, having done all, and then he says these words, to stand. Now, the terminology Paul uses when he said, having done all to stand, tells us that the enemy doesn't quit or let up his attack at all. He is relentless. He's so relentless that we will have, when we have done everything we can against him to rebuttal him, to push him away, to resist him, he might go away for a moment, but he has a back door he somehow sneaks into. He never quits. He comes one way and then he'll attack from another. Now the word to stand, those two words literally are the opposite of fleeing. They are literally the opposite of going the other way. If a commander sees his troops fleeing from the battle, he will give the command, stand your ground. If the troops are retreating back or they're running away from the fight, he will shout, stand your ground. And what he's saying is, don't flee. Don't quit. Don't give up the fight. Keep fighting. Keep going forward. The battle can become so fierce in our lives that it seems easier at times to simply retreat. And many Christians many Christians have retreated from the battle that becomes so fierce. And the enemy knows how to make it overwhelming, church. He knows how to make circumstances, situation, family disputes and job situations and car situations and bill situations. And he knows how to make all those things compile and bring such doubt upon the character and word of God in our lives that many Christians have retreated. So Paul made it very clear, having done all to stand. The concept is don't flee in the moment in the heat of the battle, but stand your ground. Don't let yourself back up, but keep standing there. When the enemy throws his best at you, keep standing there. Don't let the enemy get you to a place where you're backing up. You just stand right there. If all the wind and all the wind hail can throw your way is pushing you that one way, just stand there and let the breeze cool you down. Because you got to hold your ground and stand where God has put you. Don't let the enemy pull you back. Now, there are four reasons why Paul gives the command to stand. One, the scripture plainly commands it. This is not the form of a passive thought, having done all to stand. It's the form of to stand. This is what you do in the heat of the battle. You stand there. This is what you do when you're serving God. You stand there. Peter said concerning Satan, he said, whom resist steadfastly in the faith. He says, Peter said, when Satan comes in, resist him and do it steadfastly. In other words, stand there and be a resistance to him. Many Christians hear the roar of the enemy. And they see the onslaught, and because they hear this, they become frightened, and they back up. They see that he's bringing up their ugly past, or they see that he's bringing up possible failures in their person's life, and he gets that Christian to believe that God can never use them because of where they've come from, or what they've been through, or where they're going, or what has happened in their family. Next thing you know, that Christian's slowly backing up, and instead of standing there saying, give me your best, Satan, I'm still going to be here when it's all said and done. Listen, the truth is this, you wear the armor, you are already victorious. It doesn't matter how the enemy fights you. You're already victorious. You just got to stand there. Amen? Among modern soldiers, the worst sins are cowardice and disobedience. Our president just literally freed several top leaders of Al-Qaeda to get one soldier back who abandoned his post. I watched as they interviewed the men who were in his platoon. Those men literally express confusion and dismay to the conduct of this soldier. They did not understand why he abandoned the rank and went wandering out there. He disobeyed the commands to be in his place, to stand where he's supposed to be, and he was caught by the enemy. Listen, the moment we get out of the sorts of where God commands us to be, in standing in where God tells us to stand, we literally give access to the enemy to completely take us out. Cowardice and disobedience is one of the worst sins a soldier of Christ can commit. To resist some temptations may cost us dearly, but there is a level of temptation we have not yet even come close to. The writer of Hebrews says, you have not yet resisted unto blood. And many Christians in our day, they quit serving God because they can't handle the temptation. But what if the temptation is your life? What if the temptation is your next breath? What if the temptation is your very own blood being shed? If we cannot let loose of the lust and the pride and the arrogance and the foolish things of the world, or we can't let go of our anger and we can't get past certain things, or we can't be faithful to certain things, and we say, well, that's not important. When the test comes for the blood test, we'll more than likely fail. More than likely fail. For us to be successful soldiers for Christ, God's honor must take priority over our fears. God's honor must take priority over our fears. Listen, the enemy, like I told you, will bring up everything. He'll do everything he can to stop you. He'll bring up, well, your family. He'll bring up, well, your friends. He'll bring up, well, your past. He'll bring up, well, you can't do this. You're too sick. You have this. You've got that. You go here. You do that. He'll bring up everything to stop you from doing the plan or fulfilling God's plan in your life. And so we have to come to the conclusion that God's honor in our life is more important than our fear. And we keep marching. We keep going. We keep standing. We don't give up just because there are hardships or because there are difficulties. The testing of temptation literally shows how far you are willing to go for God. The testing of temptation shows how far you're willing to go for God. When you are tempted and you don't yield, you're saying to God, I love you, Lord, and I want to show you that I love you. But when you yield, you're saying to Satan, I couldn't get over you. And so he sees the weakness and he keeps coming and he keeps coming. And he keeps coming. And if you notice, the enemy, he don't just keep coming with the same stuff. It gets worse, and it gets worse, and it gets worse, and it gets worse. You ever heard the old preacher cliche, sin will take you further than you want to go. Keep you longer than you want to stay. The testing of temptation shows how far you're willing to go for God. To become a Navy SEAL, you must endure the harsher training, the stricter temptation to quit. They put you through rigorous training. They sleep deprave you. They put you through some horrible situations. They push you, your body, to the limits. Why? Because they're going to put you in fighting situations where you might have to be in that type of circumstance. And the stronger the soldier is, the more apt he is to go out there and not fear what is out in there. He's not afraid because he's been trained. Some of the things you're facing today, the minor temptations you're facing today, are nothing more than God's training ground for you to be able to fight a better fight later on in life. Listen, when I first got saved in Christ, I am so much further than I was when I first got saved. When I first got saved, I couldn't handle half the stuff I deal with today. But today I'm stronger. Why? Because I've been dealing with the stuff that's been coming from the enemy ever since I got saved. God's training you, and how much temptation you can handle, it proves the level that God can trust you with when he puts you out there. Once a soldier has endured stricter temptation to quit and has not backed down, he can stand his ground in fierce battles. Satan said to God, Job serves you because he has everything. You bless him. He literally says, doesn't God serve you for naught? Doesn't Job serve you for naught? Because he's blessed. He's got everything. And God said, I'll tell you what, take it. Take it. And Satan took everything that Job had. And God was proud to say to Satan, he said these words, and still he holdeth fast his integrity. God said that to Satan. You took it all, Satan. But look at my man. He holds his integrity. He doesn't back down. Why? Because Job's a soldier in God's army. He holds fast what God has put in his heart. Even though the enemy stripped him of all that he had through circumstances, still he stood there for God. The second reason why Paul gives the command to stand is because God supplies armor sufficient for the battle. God supplies us with the power necessary to be victorious. You are not defeated despite what you feel. Feelings are deceptive. Don't go off your feelings. Go off your faith. Dig deeper into your faith and say, I'm standing here. I don't feel very good. I don't feel like I'm a great Christian, but I'm still going to stand here anyway. And on the other side of it, you will be victorious. Jesus declared these words. Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. How can he say this? Because Jesus has literally equipped us with the armor that we could stand there and be victorious no matter what the enemy brings our way. We shouldn't be alarmed when the unregenerate sinner yields to temptation. They don't have armor to resist. When you see your sinner friends embracing all the sins of the world, don't be shocked. They're bound by it. You've been freed from it. And because you're freed from it, because you have the armor, the breastplate of righteousness tells you that you walk a different way. The helmet of salvation makes you think a little different. The sword of the Spirit makes you walk a little differently. Because these things are so vital into our lives, into our Christian walk. Church, to stand simply means that God has supplied us with all that we need, and there's nothing that can stop you as long as you stand there. God supplied Adam and Eve with all the food they could ever ask for, but one tree was off limits, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. When God came down to walk with Adam in the cool of the garden, he said to Adam, hast thou eaten of the tree I commanded you not to eat of? The emphasis is on the word thou. Hast thou. It was as if God was saying to Adam, I know you didn't eat because you were hungry, because you had the whole paradise to eat from. How could you fall when you were so well equipped to withstand? How could you fall when you were so well equipped to stand? Understand, church, that God has equipped us. There's no reason to fall. There's no reason to go back. There's no reason to flee. Just stand there. And having done all to stand, stand there. Don't let the enemy get you to give up. The Christian safety lies in resisting. The first reason why Paul says that we are to stand is because the scripture commands it, because God's armor is sufficient for the battle, and because, number three, the Christian's safety lies in resisting. You are safe because you stand there. You are safe because you keep standing. God's armor is supplied for fighting, not retreating. Notice in the armor that it's all the front that's guarded. There is no guard for the back. So those that run are in danger of death. Those that flee are in danger of death. But those that stand there and keep going forward, they will be victorious. It was never in the mind of God for his people to retreat. There has been actually conquerors in the past who have literally made retreating a not an option for the army. William the Conqueror, literally, when he set foot on England and all his troops came off the boats, he commanded that all the boats sail off into the distance where they couldn't see him anymore. All the soldiers watched as here they are. They came from their lands to England to invade England, and then when they get on the shores of England, William the Conqueror told the ships, go away, and all of the soldiers watched as the ships sailed into the distance. William the Conqueror was telling them, listen, there is no retreating. You are victorious here or you die here. And that's how they fought. And do you know they fought a lot more courageously? Because if they knew the ships were there, they could easily get out. You need to go so far with God that getting out is not an option. There are too many Christians that getting out is an option. I could just quit. I could just quit. Go so far with God that quitting, you have to go so far back to quit. That you would have to go way back there. Go so far. Know this, that to stop resisting the devil is to start resisting God. Let me say that again because someone told me it'd be hard for you to get. Know this, to completely stop resisting the devil is to start resisting God. That's exactly what it is. God has commanded you, stand there. And when you don't follow the command of God, you begin to resist God and not the enemy. You get what I'm saying? Don't allow yourselves to switch sides in the battle. Don't allow yourself to do it. Who is it worse to fight against, God or the devil? At least when you fight the devil, God can bring some reprieve to your life. When you fight God, there is no reprieve. Who can rescue you from the Almighty? Who can do it? Who can pull you out of it? The Bible declares it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Jesus said, don't fear the one who can kill the body, but fear the one who killed the body and cast your soul into hell forever. Don't switch sides in the heat of the battle because it's difficult, because Satan is coming against you, because all of hell is attacking you. But stand your ground and say, God, I stand here, and I'm standing here for you. When all hell comes against you, keep standing. The fourth reason why Paul commands us to stand is that the enemy is only overcome by force. Let me tell you this, the enemy truly is a coward. He waves bravely his banner and breathes out his threats with a fierce fire. But deep in his heart, he is fearful that you'll stand for God. He's fearful that you will begin to believe everything this book says. He's fearful that you'll actually stand for God and say, God, here I am. Do with me what you will. My life is surrendered to you. And the moment you do that, all of hell trembles. All Satan's host realizes that they've got to recognize you because you're a force to be reckoned with. Not because you're anything, but because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The devil's like a thief who is startled when a light's turned on or they hear a noise. Oh, I would to God that the church would make a noise that the thief could hear. I would to God. Ezekiel said, the Lord caught me up in the spirit and I saw in a valley these dry bones. He said they were very dry. And God said to Ezekiel in Ezekiel 37, he said, Ezekiel, can these bones live? And Ezekiel said, Lord, you know. And God said, Ezekiel, prophesy to them dry bones. And Ezekiel prophesied. And listen to what he said. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. I love that. There was a noise. And behold, a shaking. And the bones became together, bone to his bone. Those dry bones eventually rose up. And the Bible said it was an exceeding great army. I would to God that the church would make the noise so the thief could hear. I wish there was a shaking in the dryness of these churches, so the world could feel the presence of God again. The devil knows that if you began to wake up or you began to stand like you're supposed to, he is in a world of hurt. Your family members might be converted. Your friends might come to God because you're standing there for the Lord. He knows that if you get on a plane that refuses to back down, that you will be stronger than any Christian that you've probably even ever met in your own life. Because if you stand there, the devil can do nothing about it. The devil knows. He knows who belongs to God. He said to the seven sons of Sceva, Paul I know, and Jesus I know, but who are you? Who are you? The devil knew these people to his shame. Paul wreaked havoc in his town. He did. Jesus wreaked havoc in the devil's kingdom. The devil trembles at a man and woman who exercises their faith and lives by their faith. The enemy cannot hurt you unless you let him. You have to let him do it. Your steadfast resistance strikes heavy blows to his confidence, and it puts him back a step the moment you stand there and say, "Devil, I'm not backing down." The enemy oftentimes keeps coming at us because he sees us get weary in our resistance. He keeps coming and coming because we give him room. He sees that you're not steadfast. He sees that you're resisting, but not with your whole heart. And so he sees that, and so he keeps coming. And you're wondering, well, you might be standing there wondering, why aren't you fleeing? The Bible says you flee. Well, you need to resist him properly. You don't resist him half-heartedly. You don't resist him a little. You resist him all the way. You resist him all the way by submitting to God. James said, submit to God, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. The power in resisting the enemy is the submission to God. Submission to God gives you power to resist. And you resist the enemy by simply doing it wholeheartedly. Many Christians say, devil, flee from me. They've learned the phraseology. They've learned to say a couple words. They've learned to whip out the sword in a moment in the heat of a battle, but they don't hold the sword properly continually. And so when they wave it around, the enemy knows that they're very unskillful. And so he's not afraid. The enemy needs to know who you are. William Gurnall put it this way. He said, If you so much as hesitate as you walk by the door where sin dwells, you will give Satan more time to entice you to enter. You need to be careful. You need to be careful. If we cannot resist the small temptations, how are we going to resist when it's our life? Well, I can't put down the alcohol. I can't get rid of the drugs. How are you going to be able to give your life? What happens? You know, you say, preacher, we're in America. We don't have this problem. Well, maybe not yet. Could it come here? Yes, very possible. Am I prophesying? By no means. But I am telling you this. The Bible tells us that Christians' heads will be cut off. Now, I believe that's during the tribulation time, and the church is out of here. Praise God, that's what I believe. Amen. And I'm holding on to that. Amen. But the truth of the matter is that many Christians today, more today than ever before, are dying for Christ. More today than ever before. Know this, that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. It would be foolish to give him ammunition against you. If you know he accuses you, why give him the ammunition to shoot at you? Why let him attack you? We need to just say as Job did. This is what Job said. Job said, my righteousness, I hold fast. I hold fast. His friends, his so-called friends, were belittling, were attacking him, saying, Job, all these things happen because you're a sinner. But at the end, Job said, I hold fast my integrity. I hold fast my righteousness. Church, Paul says it this way. Stand. Stand. Stand there. When all hell comes against you, stand there. Stand there. When the waves push you around, you keep standing there. When the family members bring heartache, stand there. The enemy will attack you every way he can. But the true victorious Christian is not the Christian who knows how to swing his sword so much. It's not the one who knows how to whip it out in that moment or have them pocket scriptures that they pull out and go, well, the Bible says. No, it's the one who stands there and says, devil, you can do what you want. But when I'm done, when you're done, I'll still be standing here.